Their seventh argument, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The seventh argument. In John chapter 14, verses 9 to 11, we have, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, for I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Rebuttal. The first response. Respected Christian priests, in this also there is no distinctiveness of Christ, because in the same chapter 14 of John, verse 20, it is written, At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. From verse 20 it becomes clear that just as Christ is in the Christians and the Christians are in Christ, so similarly was Christ in God and God in Christ. Rebuttal, the second response. Additionally, the verses that form the basis of the Christian arguments appear to prove that the receptacle is what it contains, and also that the content of the receptacle is, for that very receptacle, a vessel. And on the basis of the tenets of the Christian faith, there is in Christ, between God and the physical body, no connection to the correspondence or entering into of the vessel and its contents. Rebuttal, the third response. The third reply is that Christ was seen in the world by way of his physical body and not from the point of view of the Spirit, and God is not seen in the world or in the hereafter from the bodily point of view. Thus, it would not be correct to take Christ saying that whoever has seen me has seen the Father in the literal sense. Rebuttal, the fourth response. In John chapter 17, verse 21, it is written, that the person who comes to believe may also be one in Christ and the Lord. Thus, according to this, every Christian should be an embodiment of God, like Christ. Rebuttal, the fifth response. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, we have, Ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Now, respected Christian priests, ponder over this. All those addressed by Paul are the temple of God and God is in them, so they should all be the embodiment of God. Respected Christian priests, the fact of the matter is that when someone is attributed to someone more eminent than himself, then his respect and honor is meant to be conveyed thereby, and this is what the meaning is of these expressions of the Gospels. For example, one may have a servant or representative, or pupil, or disciple, or relative, or friend. Now the respect, honor, or disrespect, or love for this servant, one's agent, pupil, disciple, relative, or friend, would be attributed to his master, teacher, well-placed relative, or friend. And this is precisely what the meaning is of the expression of the gospel. Consider Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 48, we have, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, we have, He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 36, we have, For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. In verse 24 of chapter 3 of the first epistle of John, the matter of these equivocal verses has been resolved very well, and those who call or consider Christ to be God have been reformed, where it is said, And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. And in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 13, we have, We dwell in him, and he in us.